At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and you are listening to Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for this show, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Michael Buffalo Mazzetti. Hailing from the Okanagan Highlands of Washington State since 1975, Mazzetti is a Vietnam-era veteran and received a Bachelor's of Food Science from Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York. He has been an advocate for the medical and recreational use of cannabis since the 1970s. His views, originally influenced by books such as The Emperor Wears No Clothes by Jack Herer and Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss. While helping his mother battle lung cancer in 1982, Mazzetti recognized the benefits of using cannabis to help her maintain a quality of life as she died with dignity. In 1996, he created Legalize It Springwater, which encourages consumers to send a message in a bottle to the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court to reschedule cannabis. Mazzetti has dedicated the last half of his life to researching the benefits of using various ratios of CBD to THC and how to titrate the dosage of each. He wants to share his knowledge of how to create homemade cannabis medicine to the world. And to that end, he has joined me today to bring his wisdom and knowledge of the plant directly to you. Welcome, Buffalo, to Cannabis Radio.
Hey, thanks, Vivian. Nice to be here.
It's my pleasure, old friend. Let's begin with how and when you began your relationship with the plant. I took my first toke at a Grand Funk Railroad concert in 1971. How were you first introduced to cannabis?
Well, basically sitting on a bench on the side of the road by my high school, and we were all sitting around and passing around this joint when the chief of police of the town came up and sniffed the air and looked at us all and said, "Smells like gunpowder or something." So that was kind of like my introduction. That cracked us up, and it's been a good time with cannabis since then, and even better time once I realized its medicinal value as well as its recreational value.
Almost sounds like you've stumbled onto a potential strain name there, gunpowder.
Yeah.
They got everything else, right? Mm. Why not?
Yeah, we can make that work.
maybe be a form of keef or something, right? Your bio touches on your experience with your mother during her cancer battle, and my condolences. Is that when you first became aware of the therapeutic properties of cannabis, or did you already know about medical marijuana?
Well, I basically did a lot of research when my mom got lung cancer. And of course, we're talking, this was 1983. It was pretty early on in the cannabis world for me, in study of the CBD and THC. But it stimulated my mind in saying, hey, cannabis, or Indian hemp as it was called, for many years prior to, being called marijuana, Indian hemp had a lot of potential, and it started me investigating. And there wasn't a lot of information out those days, but it did start my questioning of how else can we use this, and what are its benefits for the medical conditions of people.
Yeah, my father died of lung and brain cancer in 1996, and that was my first direct experience with medical cannabis, and I was really blown away by how effective it was in giving him quality of his end of life. You've devoted a lot of your time to exploring the proper ratios of CBD and THC necessary to expect the best results in a therapeutic application of cannabis. And I want to get into that, but can you touch just briefly on cannabinoids in general before we really dive deep into the process of creating medical cannabis? Everybody has an endocannabinoid system in their bodies cannabis is generally good for us, right?
That's right. Our endocannabinoid system in our body, produces its own cannabinoids. And it's only since we realized that phytocannabinoids or plant cannabinoids could be beneficial by boosting our endocannabinoid system within our body. Because unfortunately, for some reason, we don't produce enough of them and our body tends to be lack, and in being lack, it doesn't function properly. So the endocannabinoid system is actually a system within all of the systems in our body, and it works on a cellular level. And
and that probably comes
very
from
important.
Comes from, you know, millennia of American of Americans, a millennia of humans using cannabis throughout history, right?
Yeah, we know that we found cannabis involved in burial sites for over 10,000 years, and the Chinese, of course, used cannabis extensively over the years and for various treatments. So it has been done for a long time. We're not the first, but we're certainly the first that I know of that has actually identified the various 95 plus components of cannabis,
the cannabinoids,
CBG, the cannabinoids. And what they do to our endocannabinoid system, we're not really sure of all of the effects of it. Or what CBG does, or what CBN. We know that CBN is a relaxer. It's a sleep enhancer, but too much CBN, which is created by the breakdown of THC and CBD, too much CBN creates paranoia. So some of that old pot you got laying around might be pretty paranoia prone.
Yeah, and as cannabis ages, right, those ratios change, right?
That's correct. They do. As the CBD breaks down into CBN, and the THC breaks down into CBN, and also CBG.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it really is, and we really know very little, as we were just. Really started studying this with Dr. McCollum in the early 1990s when he identified THC and identified CBD a little bit later.
Fascinating. So let's pretend that somebody is new to this whole world of cannabis and they wanted to make their own medical cannabis to treat whatever situation they're dealing with health-wise. The first step to quality medical marijuana, of course, is the marijuana, choosing the strain of cannabis to begin with. What should people think about when selecting or breeding the strains that they'll use to create medical cannabis? How would you advise people to approach that issue?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would do an internet search on whatever I was trying to treat. Like if I was trying to treat, say, Parkinson's disease, for example, I would Google Parkinson's disease or however you want to do it, but using a search engine, go with Parkinson's disease, CBD, THC ratio. Those four words there, or five words with Parkinson's disease, will bring up a plethora of studies that have been done on what the correct ratio would be, or what a good ratio would be to start with. Every human body, of course, is a little different than every other one. And of course, the first thing I would do is to make sure that I'm not allergic to cannabis. About one in, I would say, 250,000-300,000 people may be allergic to it, meaning they could get a rash, they could have different effects of cannabis. So I'd make sure you're not allergic to it by taking a small dosage of it and use it probably topically first, which would be the least intrusive in the body, and then and if you had no reaction as far as a rash or you know, something like that, then I would proceed. So in any way, I digress, but getting back to finding your ratio, so by looking, doing an internet search on what you're looking for, what you're looking to work with, Parkinson's, pain, Alzheimer's, psoriasis, emphysema, dementia, glaucoma, herpes, Huntington's disease, anyway, a plethora of various problems of the human condition, by researching CBD THC ratio and the name of the disease that you're looking at, you're going to find the information, and then picking the proper ratio, say it was 20% or 20 parts CBD to one part THC, and then finding a strain that has that kind of ratio, such as if it was a 20-1, you might find a Harlequin Tsunami that was a 20-1, or some ACDCs are 20-1, can be 20-1. Now I say can be because they vary. Strains vary depending on phenotypes and depending on whoever grew them.
But a lot of the science has been done, right? And people kind of identified what strains have certain qualities pretty much at this point,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have, but I'm pretty particular. So what I do is when I'm looking for a strain, that a specific strain for my condition, I'm going to have that strain tested after I grow it. And then I really know what I have. I know that what I think is 20-1 is actually 20-1 and doesn't come back maybe 10-1 or maybe 1-1. Mm-hmm. So you want to get it tested. And the best way to test it is to go to a testing lab or to, again, do an internet search on cannabis testing laboratories near me. And then I would find out how much they get for a test and then select a tester that is reputable.
Okay. I'm talking to Michael Buffalo Mazzetti. He is sharing his vast knowledge of medical cannabis with us. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsors and advertisers, and come back with our second segment, so don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with Buffalo Mazzetti. Buffalo, you have spent much time researching the benefits of using various ratios of CBD to THC and how to titrate the doses of each. Can you just talk about titration and the process, and how somebody might measure out to make sure that they're getting the proper breakdown to treat the effects of their medical condition?
Sure. So we know that once you find your ratio, then you want to find out, okay, how much of this should I be taking? How many times a day? And should I take it sublingually? Should I take it as a suppository, et cetera? There are a lot, you know, should I inhale it? This is up to you. The general thing is that the closer to the problem you could introduce the cannabis, the more reactivity you're going to have and the better results. So let's talk about titration. So the first, the smallest amount of cannabis that you could take would be through a tincture. Now, a tincture is made by using 55 grams of flower with 750 milliliters of vodka, a high percentage of vodka, over 150 proof of vodka, or a Everclear type of alcohol. So you would decarboxylate the flowers, meaning you would heat them to 220 degrees for 20 minutes in an oven, take them out, crumble them up, add your alcohol to it, and put it in a cool, dark place and shake it for 30 days. I like to do it for a full moon. Shake it for 30 days, and then each day shake it if you can, and then strain it. And then you have a tincture. Now, that tincture will be approximately 5 drops of tincture will equal 1 milligram. Now, the dose of cannabis can be anywhere from, say, 1 drop, which would be 0.20 milligrams of cannabis, 1 drop to, in the case of cancer, some people are using it 250 milligrams per dose. So it's a really broad range. But of course, you can't just take an ounce of tincture, because you start becoming inebriated. So people take that tincture and run it through a still. Air still is the one that I recommend people use. And that removes the alcohol and creates a Rick Simpson oil or a full extraction cannabis oil made out of ethanol, or the alcohol that we made the tincture out of. So that would give you the range of anywhere from a fifth of a milligram or a drop of tincture to 250 milligrams of RSO or full extraction cannabis oil, which would be approximately three quarters of an inch of RSO spread out on a piece of parchment paper.
And it's
so there's also a middle line. There's a middle line there too. You can make cannabis capsules, which would create about a 5 milligram dose per capsule. And that capsule is made by using 30 grams of flowers with 65 grams of leaves and a half an ounce of infused olive oil, which infused with cannabis, which you again would decarboxylate all of these things and mix them together and fill capsules. And that formula that I just gave, 30 grams of flowers, 65 grams of leaves, and 1 ounce of infused olive oil, will yield approximately 90 capsules of 5 milligrams per capsule.
And it's probably important to point out that people should start slow, start small, right?
You need to start small. If for nothing else, just to make sure you're not allergic to it. And then you need to build up to the dose that is starting to change your condition. And you're starting to feel better. You're starting to function properly, because this is all about neuromodulation and cell signaling. So when your cells start to be signaled by having the proper amount of cannabinoids in your body, therefore your endocannabinoid system is starting to mellow out and modulate, if you will. Then we're talking the body's beginning to heal. And so you can slow down and find that dose and stay with that dose for a while, and then eventually back off.
What would be a couple common mistakes that some people might make in this process?
I think the most common mistake is to assume that that the plant you're growing is a certain ratio. You really need to get it tested.
Uh-huh.
Two, you need to decarboxylate the flowers. They have to be decarboxylated.
They have to be heated.
They have to be heated because CBD is really CBDA in the flower, and THC is really THCA in the flower. And when you decarboxylate, then you create CBD, pure CBD, and you create delta-9 THC or delta-8 THC, which is the psychotropic part. The other mistake a person could make would be to use a psychotropic, a higher THC plant and have anxiety, get the negative effects of the THC, whereas if you stay with a higher CBD, you don't have as much of those things affecting your body. And
So if somebody was new to cannabis and they said, I'm going to treat my cancer or my epilepsy or whatever it might be, my chronic pain, and they, their first dose, they go, oh my God, I'm totally whacked out. I'm zonked. I don't have any energy. I can't wake up. I feel so stoned, right? They might be discouraged, but they should realize that that's going to go away as they keep taking it, right?
Well, I would try to back off and take a half of that dose, whatever that dose was. I'd take half or less. I'd slow down. I'd make sure that, again, make sure that they're not into the THC side of things. Like a lot of times, if you go to the shops that are existing, a lot, you know, we used to grow a lot of marijuana because it had high THC. Well, now we're realizing that THC is not the only thing we're looking for. We're looking for that CBD. So I would say if a person has that experience, they need to back up. And
so like a first dose of cannabis oil might be literally half the size of a grain of rice, right?
You might not even start with the cannabis oil. You might start with some tincture and start with 1 milligram of 5 drops of tincture taken twice a day of the CBD and twice a day of a THC tincture. And like every 6 hours is how it's recommended. Another thing is a person should get a good book. And there are some great medical marijuana books out there. They can give you a little more help with it. Also, you might check with projectcbd.org, which has a great CBD user's manual in there.
Martin Lee and company, good folks.
And so a person could start, if you've never taken marijuana before, you could start with using a 1 milligram dose of CBD at 8 o'clock in the morning, a 1 milligram dose of CBD at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 8 o'clock in the evening, a 1 milligram dose of THC, a higher THC ratio at 8 o'clock at night. And then again, when you wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom or whatever, take another milligram and do that for a couple of days and then double that. And then do that for a couple of days and double that. And eventually get to the 5 milligram where you would take a capsule. One capsule would give you 5 milligrams. And again, you take it twice a day for CBD, twice a day for THC. Excuse me. And we're talking about this as a benefit for cancer specifically. This what has been the recommendation in many books and many webcasts that talk about treating cancer. So you want to take 4 doses a day, 2 of CBD and 2 of THC. And it's important to take them back to back. In other words, the 2 THC together, the 2 CBD together, because they're also what is known as agonists, which means that they kind of block the receptors. The CB1 receptor in the endocannabinoid system reacts to the THC, and the CBD we found reacts to the CB2 receptor. So
we gotta go to break, Buffalo, but let's touch on that when we come back. We're gonna go another quick break and come back for my final question.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And I'm with Buffalo Mazzetti for his for our final questions. Buffalo, we had talked earlier before the show about the CBD and THC receptors in the brain and how they get clogged. One clogs the other, right? The THC clogs the CBD receptor, and the CBD clogs the THC receptor, and they should probably be taken separately. Is that right?
That's right. What we're learning is that those receptors, the CBD and THC, are agonists to one another, and so they kind of block one another. So it's good to take them separately and take two doses of CBD back to back at, say, 8 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, and then 8 in the evening and 2 in the morning for the THC, so that they don't kind of fight one another.
Interesting. That's almost counterintuitive to what somebody might think coming into it. Well, you know, this is just a fascinating subject. And there are, you know, every day there's more and more people who thought they knew about cannabis who are discovering that there's a whole world they didn't know about and they want to learn more. So this is really helpful. We have just a couple minutes left to talk. I'm just curious, you know, what are your final thoughts? You know, what do you think people should know who are thinking about making their own medical cannabis?
It's doable. It's very doable. And, you know, you're going to have a little bit of a challenge to figure out your specific dose, but don't worry about it. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to figure it out and start slowly and build up to the point where it's beneficial to you and you can feel it. It's just like taking the homeopathic doses of anything, if you've ever experienced that. It's subtle, but it's there, and you're going to feel better after you use it. And there are many, many things that cannabis is used for. Do a web search, figure it out what it is, and figure out what your ratio is, and then figure out what your titration dose is, and then it's pretty easy to make either a capsule for yourself, some tincture for yourself, or make the full extraction cannabis oil or the Rick Simpson oil. And the information's out there. Go out there, look for it, research it. It's there, and it's doable, and it can help you heal.
Michael Buffalo Mazzetti, thanks for sharing your extensive knowledge with us today. Take care, my friend, and happy trails to you.
Okay, thanks, Viv. I'll see you soon.
All right, man. Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. See you next week, folks. Stay strong.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.